Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
In Philippians chapter number 2, notice with me, please, in verse 5. Let's stand as I read. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. I don't know if you underline in your Bible or write in your Bible. If you do, I'd highly recommend underline where it says was made in the likeness of man. Notice the next verse. And being found in fashion as a man. I don't know if you write in your Bible or not, but I'd highly recommend underlining that part also. Being found fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into the Word of God tonight, I have a real desire to be a blessing this evening. And I realize this evening you know my need better than I do myself. And I pray right now the Spirit of God will take the Word of God. And I pray you'll work in our hearts tonight. I realize this evening, Lord, things may take us by surprise, but it doesn't you. So I pray, God, you'll give me that I need for this hour. May all the will of God be done tonight. Help us tonight. And speak to us out of the Word of God, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sending you and be seated. I want to talk to you tonight out of these verses I read and some other verses as we look at it tonight on the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why he come, and of course, if you study, you know, you and I both know that he was made flesh and dwell among us. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. There's two statements found in the verses I read tonight. And I want you to look at them tonight. If you notice in verse number 7, notice this statement. Made in the likeness of man. Notice also in verse number 8. Being found in fashion as a man. Both of those statements tonight, of course, talks about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is him coming and being born in this world. And I want to say this evening, I don't have no problem at all. How with the virgin birth tonight. Thank God for the virgin birth. Thank God for him coming and becoming man that you and I could be saved tonight by the good grace of God. The virgin birth tonight is a miracle act of God. That's all you say about it. It's a miracle act of God tonight. He got here without a human father. And I know when you say that to a lot of people, they look at you as to say, you've lost your mind, you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about. But I'll say men had nothing to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said in Matthew chapter number 1 that she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad that's so true tonight. A lot of people have a problem with the virgin birth. But again, don't say this to you tonight. He become man tonight. He was born. You and I could be born again tonight. And a lot of people have a problem with the virgin birth. I'll tell you one better than that. First two people here on earth got here without a human father or mother. Yes, sir. And Genesis chapter number 1. And that is so true tonight. And when you study about the virgin birth tonight, I want to talk to you tonight about how that he become man tonight. He was a God-man. The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a God-man tonight. And he came into this world. The Bible said in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory. I said the Word of God, thank God, the Lord Jesus, was made flesh. He's a God-man. He was made flesh, the Bible said here. And if you study this, you'll find all through the Word of God. And I want to say this tonight. I believe y'all preach on the deity of Christ. I know he's a God-man. There's one man between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. And I believe y'all preach on the deity of Christ as much as you do the humanity side of him. But he was man tonight. He's called man tonight all through the Word of God. And we're going to see in just a minute why he was called man. If you study your Bible this in, you'll find more than 80 times in the New Testament it talks about the Son of Man. I'll say that again. More than 80 times in the New Testament how it talks about the Son of Man. All down through the Bible, if you study this evening, you'll find in John chapter number 4, verse number 29, how the Bible said that little lady said, come and see a man had told me all things which I've done. It's not this to cry. Come and see a man. Bible said in Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Bible talks about also in the Gospel of Matthew tonight, chapter 12, verse number 40, how that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. And so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. I'll say to him that he's a God-man tonight. I believe in the deity of Christ. I know you know that. And we all believe that tonight. But I'll say tonight he incarnate, he came, he made flesh and dwell among us tonight. He had a body like you and I, yet without sin tonight. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for that tonight. He's called the God-man tonight. And the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he come into this world. And let me give you two or three reasons tonight that he's a God-man tonight. I'll say first of all this evening, he's a God-man because he subjected himself to a human body. I'll say that again. He become the God-man because he subjected himself to a human body tonight. You realize this seed in his body had limitations just like yours. A lot of times when we think about the Lord, we think about the sovereignty of God. We think about the power of God. We think about the deity of Christ. And that is so true. And I want to say this tonight. There was never a time he wasn't God. Never has been, never will be. He's a God-man. But while he was on earth, he become man. That he might subject himself to a human body this evening. That body, that Word of God, the Lord Jesus himself, thank God, become flesh tonight. I sang about this. If you read your Bible, you'll find all down through the Word of God. Do you realize he was obedient to his parents just like we was? And that's like we should be. And I thought about this. Listen to this. Mary is the only mother that give birth to a baby, and the baby older than she is. Y'all get what I just said? He was older than she was. She's the only mother that ever give birth to a baby. That the baby was the one that created her. Y'all looking at me strange, but I'm preaching good. And he was subjected to a father and mother tonight. He surely was tonight. He did what they said. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine Jesus? Baby Jesus? And by the way, you ever heard anybody say this? And I heard my wife say this about one of our great-granddaughters. She's the perfect baby. She ain't either. She's the perfect baby. And some of you may believe that about your children tonight. But they're not the perfect baby. But I know one that was. You say, why do you say they weren't the perfect baby? Because they lie. You say babies don't lie? Oh, yes, they do. You ever been laying in the bed at night? And man, they're in the other room screaming their head off. You'd have thought somebody was trying to steal them or get them. And you go in there and cut the light on, look down at them. And they look up at you and smile real big. They lied. Yeah, they was conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, the Bible said. But don't say Jesus, he was subjected to a human body. He's a baby. He obeyed his mom and dad. Just like you and I this evening. He was subjected to that body tonight. You'll find in that body he thirsted. You'll find in that body he got tired. You'll find in that body tonight he slept. Well, the Bible said there in Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, sleeping on a pillow. How that reveals the human side of sleeping on a pillow tonight. If you study your Bible, this evening you'll find how that he got hungry, he got thirsty, and that just like you and I did, yes, he did. He had a body just like you and I, but yet without sin. I said, yet without sin. You say, why are you emphasizing the part, that humanity of him? Simply because of this. He knows how you feel tonight. Thank God he knows what you're going through tonight. Thank God he knows all about your situation tonight. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that he was tempted in all points, such as we, but yet without sin. He didn't sin one time. How about he had a human body just like you and I do tonight? He got hungry after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. How the Bible said there in the Gospel of Mark, or the Gospel of Luke, I should say, after 40 days, how the devil came and tempted him. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. And said, if thou be the Son of God, I make these stones be turned to bread. You see, he got hungry just like I do. He got thirsty just like we do. Bible said that he came and set out at Jacob's well. And the little lady come to draw water. And the word of God said that he'd been weary on his journey. You see, he got hungry, he got thirsty, just like you and I do. And by the way, there was times that he was happy. How there was times that he was sad. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible said in Isaiah 53, how that he was a man acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to be sad. He knew what it was to have a broken heart. He knew what it was to be lonely. Can you imagine? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Brother Sam, how he goes and prays. After coming back three times, they're laying our sleep. And are you listening to me? He knows what it means to be lonely. He knows what it means to be forsaken. He knows all about that tonight. I thought about this, and if you study your Bible, you'll find that there's no temptation taking us but such as common to men. And he knows every bit of that tonight. He knows all that tonight. He become man that he could identify with you and I tonight. I thought about the homeless people. And you say, nobody can identify with them. He can. He said, the foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Listen to me now. He subjected himself to the limitations of a human body, just like you and I got tonight. And the reason he did that, thank God, is that he can be identified with what you're going through tonight. You ever heard anybody say this? I've heard women say this. Nobody knows how I feel. You just don't know my feelings. Of course I don't know your feelings. I'm a man. You just don't know what you're going through, what I'm going through. But I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, both. You'll never go through a situation, listen tonight, in the likeness of man, fashioned as a man. The God-man tonight. The human side of him tonight. He was God, but yet he was man, that he might be able to identify, thank God, what I'm going through tonight. I told this story, I'm sure I've told it here before. Years ago, I was preaching for Brother Elmo House. Y'all know that man? And I may be where I met Brother Easter, but anyhow, years ago, back in the 80s, I was preaching for Brother Elmo House. By the way, I was preaching the day that he surrendered to preach. How about that? And Northside. But anyhow, I was preaching Brother Elmo many years ago. And in revival, had a good meeting. We was going up the road to church one night. And I was driving a 15-passenger van. I was at Turner's Creek at this time. And I had a whole van load of people. And I was driving up Interstate 77, going to revival, going to have a good time. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, it felt like a truck set down on my chest. I couldn't breathe, man. I couldn't breathe. And all of a sudden, I thought my left arm was going to blow off my shoulder. Now, I've been around people who have heart attacks, and I've been around people that has those problems, and I know those symptoms. And I thought, dear Lord, what's happening to me? I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing for two reasons. Reason number one, had I said anything, they wouldn't let me drive. And I don't like to ride with nobody else. Reason number two, if I said anything, they wouldn't let me preach. So I went on to church that night, church full of people. I'm sitting on the front row getting ready to preach, and I'm about to die. Man, I can't breathe. My arm's killing me. Felt like my arm was going to blow off my shoulder. Listen, I was in bad shape. And Brother Elmo introduced me, and I stepped up on the platform. And when I stepped up on that platform, every pain I had left my body that night. Every one of them. I preached like a dog running a rabbit for about 45 minutes. Man, we had a time. I hadn't even got off the platform and every bit of it come back. Every bit of it. When I got home that night, I told my wife, I said, I don't feel good. I think I'm going to go see Dr. Goodson tomorrow. I don't feel good. Make a long story short, went to the hospital. I went to the doctor. And back during them days, they'd do them Is it EKGs? And them little ladies pushing buggies around? Had all them wires? I know they don't do it like that, not now. I do it by computer, but anyhow, he checked me and he said, "Don't you move. Hey, something going on, don't you move." And back during them days, I visit the hospitals every day. And I knew when the lady come with a buggy, with all the wires, most of the time it's not good. And when he said, "Don't move," after he checked me, the door flung open, here come that woman pushing that buggy. I thought, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to die. Something wrong bad." And evidently, they hadn't made no money that week because they pulled the hairs out of my chest. They were supposed to scrape them all, but anyhow, she stuck all, put that jelly on there and done all that stuff. He's sitting there looking at EKG. Make a long story short, I wound up for South Hospital. They did a heart catheterization. Then they done another heart catheterization. And then after about a week, Dr. Simpson come in and sat down beside my bed and looked at my wife. Here's what he said. If he don't get out from under the stress he's under, he's not had a heart attack, but if he don't get out from under the stress he's under, he's going to die. So when they don't know what's wrong with you, and they still don't know what's wrong with it, when they don't know what's wrong with you, you're stressed out. You're just stressed out. Now, having said what I just said, I said that to say this. From that day to this present hour, when one of my men would come up to me when I was pastoring and said, "Pray for me. I got to have a heart catheterization next week." And you know what I'd always say? "That ain't no problem. Been darn done that. Ain't no problem. Got a t-shirt for it. Ain't no problem. You won't have a problem one." Hey, are you hearing me? It sure does make me feel good to know that somebody can identify what I'm going through. Hallelujah. You say, "I'm lonely." He knows all about it. You say, "I'm discouraged." He knows all about it. You say, "I'm forsaken." He knows all about it. You say, I need this and I need that. He knows all about it, thank God. Listen to me. He become man that he might be able to fashion as a man, liken unto a man. He did that, dear friend, that he might subject himself to the limitations of a human body. Now, that doesn't mean that he wasn't God. He's God the whole time. You say, "Well, how can he be God? How can he be man at the same time?" I don't know. But if you'll write a book, tell us how, by the book. I don't know. I just know that's the way it is tonight. How there was at a time he wasn't God. How that while he's on earth, thank God, there wasn't a time he wasn't man. He subjected himself to a human body, thank God, and he might be able to identify with you and I this evening. The Bible said, fashion as a man. Second reason he become man, I want to say not only that he might subject himself to the limitations of our body, human being, but I want to say he become man that he might subject himself to our sins. You see, he didn't have no sin. Help me. They believe it on this side. They don't believe it over here. He didn't have no sin. And he become man that he might subject himself to our sins. You see, what happened was, thank God, he took our sin. He bore our sins at the cross of Calvary, how that you and I could be saved tonight. And I'll just say this to you now. He's without sin. He never has sin, never will sin. He's a thrice holy God. But listen to me tonight. Had he never become man, he would never been subjected to our sin. Our sins what nailed him to the cross. If you study your Bible this evening, you'll find how that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. The Bible talks about there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 3, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. What happened? What happened was simply this. My sins was laid on him. Your sins was laid on him. Our sins nailed him to the cross. Had he never become man? Listen, God can't look on sin. God never has looked on sin. If you study your Bible, you'll find Psalm chapter 22, verse number 3, you'll find that God is holy. If you look in the book of Habakkuk tonight, Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 13, it talks about how that God cannot look on sin. And I'll say this to you now, he came. So, but you know what happened? Listen, you know what happened? At the cross of Calvary, my sin and your sin, thank God, he become man that he might be able to nail our sin to the cross tonight. God don't look at sin. So he become what you and I was, friend. And I'll just say this to you tonight. Over and over and over again, if you study your Bible, you'll find at least 24 times. Does anybody know what the Gospels is in the Old Testament? Do you know what the Gospel, not Gospels, there's no S on it. You know what the Gospel is in the Old Testament? It's in Isaiah 53. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. And with his stripes, you and I are healed tonight. That's spiritual healing. And I'll just say this to you tonight. In those verses in Isaiah 53, 24 times it talks about another. I'll say that again. 24 times in Isaiah 53, it talks about another. Do you know who that another is? I know that's not good English, but do you know who that another is? It's you and I tonight. He was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace. Hear me tonight, thank God. He subjected himself to a human body that he might be able to take our sins, thank God, and nail them to the cross of Calvary tonight. I'll say this, listen. Never one time, not one time, did he ever sin. Not one. Not one. Some of these ding-a-lings that don't believe the Bible talk about how that he had sin and how that he did sin and all this. They don't even believe in the virgin birth. They believe that some Roman soldier was the father of the Lord Jesus. Hell's going to be full of people like that. And hell's going to be hot for people like that. How the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. How that unbeliever, that infidel, are you listening to me? 24 times in Isaiah, how 53, how, talks about ours. How he was bruised for our iniquity. And the personal pronouns down through that. Read it tonight. Hey, listen to me. I'm going to tell you why. How he become man tonight. And he might subject himself to our sin and be nailed to the cross. And you and I can be saved by the grace of God. Do you know the sister verse to John 3:16? The sister verse to John 3:16 is 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. For God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, for God made him. It wasn't that he had sin. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be saved tonight. And I want to say this to you tonight. He took your sin and nailed it to the cross. At past, present, future, every one of them was nailed to the cross. And I want to say this to you tonight. What a joy to realize that tonight. Somebody, listen, sin's always demanded death. For the wages of sin is death. And I want to say this to you tonight. Sin's always, I'll say more about that in just a minute. But I'm glad, thank God. Hey, listen to me. He died for you. He took your place. He was your substitute. He took your place tonight. Let me tell you this. There's not a one of us in this room that could pay for our sin. I don't want to be ugly, but don't you listen to what I'm getting ready to say. And I realize there'll be those that will disagree with this statement. But listen to what I'm getting ready to say. If you believe you can get saved and get lost and get saved and get lost and get saved and get lost, listen, that's what you believe tonight. What you believe is you're the sacrifice for your sin. You see, it's your works is saving you. Let me tell you something tonight. If my works is saving me, I'm going to bust hell wide open. You say, why? Because I done wrong today. You say, what'd you do? I robbed a bank. And me and Olivia's going to, what's the name? We get the blizzards. Come on, tell me. Dairy Queen. So I robbed a bank today. Let me tell you something. If that's true, we're in trouble. Listen, he nailed your sins to the cross. Past, present, future, every one of them is nailed to the cross. It know what you do or don't do. If you trust in Christ, and when you put faith in him and believe him, the work is done. Thank God the work is done. I believe on the Son, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. It's not what you can do. If you frustrate the grace of God when you say that. And I'll say this to you tonight. I know there's people in this county, and there's churches in this county, and probably not far, but I'm standing tonight, believes in a work salvation. I'm telling you, if that is true, listen to this. If that is true, Jesus Christ made the biggest mistake man's ever made. By him going through what he went through, by him suffering what he suffered, by him going through all that he went through to pay for our sin. If it's my works that gets me saved or not saved, he made a mistake. But I want to hasten to say, he didn't make a mistake. Listen to me, he become man that he might subject himself to our sins. He nailed him to the cross, thank God. Listen to me, when he sees me, he don't see me. He sees the blood of Christ. I've been robed in the righteousness of God. Listen to me now. And by the way, you know where that's found? That's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Right in the very beginning of your Bible, that's where it's found tonight. When Adam and Eve sinned, guess what? Somebody slayed an animal. There was blood shed. Wonder who that was. It wasn't Adam, and it wasn't Eve. But I know who it was. It's the Lord. And can I say this tonight? He wrapped them up. And I'll say this to you and I tonight. That's how you and I are saved. So I'll say number two tonight, quickly tonight. Listen to me. Hey, why did he become man? The incarnation of the Lord. Why did he become man? He become man that he might subject himself to human being such as you and I, that he might be able to identify with you and I. But he subjected himself to our sins, that he might be able to go to the cross and nail every sin I've ever committed to the cross. By the way, listen to me. Every sin you ever will commit, ever have committed, or ever will commit was taken care of that day. Every one of them. And every one of them. You'll say, well, he didn't know anything. Oh, yes, he knew it all. And I'll just say this to you tonight. Thank God. He nailed them all to the cross. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, I'll tell you why. Thank God my sins are gone, never to be brought up again. Brother Robert, I've been saved 51 years. And you would think after 51 years of being saved, you think those things that you'd done before you got saved would never be brought up again. I wish that was true. The devil brings them up to me quite often. And he talks about what I used to be and what I used to be and what I used to be and what I used to be. And if you're saved, why are you having this thought? If you're saved, why are you having this thought? And what you used to be. And you know what I say to the devil? You're right, I was in bad shape. You're right, I did some wicked things. But there's one thing, Mr. Devil, you forgot to do. And that's put John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to give us our sins and cleanse us. They're gone tonight. They're gone tonight in their sins, in their iniquities. I remember no more. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you that reason he was incarnate in flesh, born of a virgin to come into this world and live 33 and a half years. Hey, he identified himself with man, but also he took our sins, thank God, and nailed them to the cross tonight. Let me tell you this, and I'm moving. You can't get a pill that will give you peace. You can't get a shot that will give you peace. They give you a shot, put you out. And a light ran down my stomach. That's what they said they done. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago today, 2 weeks ago yesterday. And that's some pretty good sleep. I kind of enjoyed that part. And next thing I know, Mr. Barker, are you listening? And here's what I want to say to you tonight. You'll never have peace. You'll never know peace until you allow the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart. I mean, I was preaching Sunday night in Stacor, Georgia, and there's a young man. He's actually sitting on the front row, wasn't he? Right over here on this side, or actually on this side while I was preaching. Boy, when I got done preaching Sunday night, that young fella hit that altar wide open. Anybody got any idea what happened to him? He got born into the family of God. Every sin he's ever committed got forgiven like that Sunday night. Hey, I'm telling you, say, preacher, why? Incarnation of Christ. Why did he come? That he might subject himself to a human body. That he might subject himself to our sin. He nailed it to the cross, thank God. He nailed it to the cross tonight. I got a real long illustration. I'm going to give it number three and I'm done. Why did he become the incarnation of the Lord? Being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did he become a man? To identify with you and I, to nail our sins to the cross. Then I'll say number three, he became man that he might subject himself to death in the grave. God don't die. God can't die. Are you listening to me? He'll never die. And I said he's the God-man, and he was the God-man. Had he not become man, he'd never died. Are y'all hearing me preach? I said, had he not become man, he would have never died. I probably preached this. I haven't preached it here. You've heard me preach it, though, in another church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul gives a whole chapter on the resurrection of Christ. He deals with the resurrection, how our bodies are going to be raised. He deals with Christ's resurrection. Some of them denied the fact that Christ had even risen from the dead. And Paul said, look, if he's not rose from the dead, we're still in our sins. We're a bunch of false witnesses. We're a bunch of liars. But he has rose from the dead. And he gives one whole chapter to the resurrection, not only Christ being raised from the dead, but how those that die in the Lord's going to be raised. Boy, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That sleep's talking about a body. But we shall be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. You ever notice this in this chapter? The last two verses, you ever notice them? When you come to verse 58 of that chapter, here's what it says. Therefore, my beloved brother, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I read that a few weeks ago, and I said to myself, that verse is out of place. That doesn't make sense. The whole chapter is given to the resurrection of Christ. And our resurrection. Why in the world would that verse be there at the end of that resurrection chapter? Therefore, my beloved brother. Now, the word therefore is therefore a reason. Therefore is having reference back to what he just said. And the Holy Ghost said, dummy, look at it. I said, okay, I'm looking. He said, what does therefore mean? I said, therefore means having reference back to what he just said. He said, what did he just say? I said, well, it said that Christ is rose and he lives forever. And the Holy Ghost said, as long as he's alive, you can be steadfast. Now, if he dies, we got a problem. But as long, I'm about to shout, are y'all hearing me? As long as he lives, I can be steadfast and unmovable. Hey, I say, as long as he, and I'll tell you tonight, the reason he was subjected to a human body. I'm going to tell you why. That he might be able to identify, that he might be able, let me read the whole thing. He become man. That he might subject himself to death in the grave. Listen to this and I'm done. Had he not become man, he would have never, never died. All through the Word of God, you'll find the wages of sin is death. Genesis chapter number 3, you don't read far down through. Somebody said the first death in the Bible's in Genesis 4. I disagree with that. The first death in the Bible's in Genesis 3. Spiritually, Adam and Eve died. So did you and I. But when you come to chapter number 4, you've got the first physical death. And, you know, the slaying one another there. And so all through the Word of God, if you'll study, you'll find it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I'll say to you and I this evening, everybody in this room, probably less than 50 years from right now is going to be, well, maybe a little more than 50 for some of them. Me and Robert, probably about 10. We're old. Are y'all listening? Now, you married a young woman, but listen to me. I hear what I'm saying. We're going to die some of these days. And I'll say this to you real quick, and I'm done. The reason he become man, that he might subject himself to a grave in death. And listen, he would have never died had he not become man. And I want to say they put him in a tomb. And I love the Gospels. Joseph of Arimathea goes over to Pilate, begs the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, he's a rich man. Study your Bible. That was his grave. That was his family's tomb. And he goes and begs the body of the Lord Jesus. You know the story. How that he would be a dead. And by the way, Isaiah 53 talks about that. Isaiah 53 verse number 9. And he goes over and begs the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The black preacher said, I don't understand why he would be put in a borrowed tomb. He didn't even own his tomb. Why he'd be put in a borrowed tomb? And the other black man said, well, it's sufficient because he ain't going to be there long. And I'll say to you tonight, he become man that he might subject himself to death and thank God a grave. But I will say, I don't stay on that part. He did die. Listen, Paul talked about how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, in that He was buried, in that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. They did nail Him to the cross. How He did die. Had He not become man, He would have never died. But He did die. He bore our sins at the cross of Calvary. But thank God, 72 hours later, and there's something going on in that tomb. Are you listening? He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And you know what Paul said? Paul said, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. He also said in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This little girl and her mama, and I'm done. This little girl and her mama, don't play, just come. This little girl and her mama was looking at flowers one day. And the little girl jumped back and said, Mama, Mama, there's a bee on there. And the mom said, you ain't got a thing to worry about. She said, the bee will sting us. She said, honey, we have nothing to worry about. And the mama showed the little girl her hand. And the bee had already stung her. And the stinger was sticking out of her hand. She said, honey, you have nothing to worry about. I've already got the stinger. Anybody in here tonight? Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? The sting of death's been taken away. Paul talks about that in that resurrection chapter. He talked about, oh, death, where's our sting? Oh, great! He talked to the graveyard, that old ground, like it's somebody. Hey, death, where's thy sting? Oh, great, where's thy victory? And I'll tell you something tonight. The sting of death's already been pulled out. I ain't got a thing to worry about. It's going to be a good day one day after a while when we make the cross into the other side. Hey, it's going to be a good day. I think more about dying now than I've ever thought in my life because I'm getting closer. And my brother went with me to revival 2 weeks ago. My brother's 75. And I'm still in my 60s. But anyhow, he's 75. And he talked about, I don't care what happens, he gets a problem, he goes to the doctor. He'd get a hung fingernail and he'd got to go to the hospital. And he asked me, he said, does things bother you like that? Does it bother you like that? I said, well, I'm probably more concerned now than I've ever been in my life. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I am going to go to heaven one day, and I'm excited about that. But if you're getting up low tonight, I probably ain't going to get on the wagon. But I'm not worried about it. I'm not disturbed about it. If something happens, mean you don't see me no more in this life, and I'll check out. Don't you worry about me. I'll promise you, I know where I'm going tonight. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able, not me, not what I do or don't do, what I say or don't do. I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that I committed to Him. Hey, I'm going to heaven one day. And I'll tell you the reason Paul and the reason our Lord Jesus and I become incarnated in flesh is that He might have victory and show you and I how there's victory over death, hell, and the grave. He died that you and I could be saved tonight. He would have never died had He not become man. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made Himself of no reputation, took on Him the form of a servant. Get this. And was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. I want to say tonight, He become the God-man that He might help you and I. Hallelujah. You probably never get discouraged. But you know about one time, every 10 years I get discouraged. And you believe that, don't you? And when I do, there's one that cares. You ever been lonely? When I left the pastorate, and by the way, somebody said, do you miss it? No, I do not. The only thing I miss about the pastor is this. I miss the people, because I'd always get real close to my people. We had a tight relationship. I love my people, and I still love them even tonight. Four churches I pastored. Well, the three I pastored, one of them was school. But anyhow, I still love them. And I miss that closeness. And after I'd been gone from my last church for a few months, the phone calls really started dwindling down. Hey, preacher, love you. Hey, pastor, been praying for you today. Those things began to kind of dwindle down. And there's a time or two, last 4 years, I felt just a little bit lonely. But you know what? You know what? There's one that knows how I feel. There's one that knows what I'm going through. He become the God-man that he might identify with you and I.